Hello and welcome to another episode of Chris and Adam's 60-minute speedrun. I'm Chris, and as the name of the show implies, I'm joined by Gerald. Hello, Gerald.
Hello!
How the devil are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Good, good. Of course, this is Adam. Everybody knows who Adam is by now.
I quite like Gerald, so I think we're going to go with Gerald.
Yes. I used to, well, I didn't work with him, but there was somebody called Gerald. He used to sail boats, which I think is potentially a good name for a sailor.
It is, yeah. So he was a sailor. You didn't work with him. So does that mean he used to do things to you around the bins somewhere?
No. He used to sort the mail. And
yes, like I said, behind the bin, sorting out mails. Yes.
Put things into my slot.
Yeah. You'd post something into him and leave a deposit.
That's it, yes. I don't know what happened to him. God, that was years ago. He's probably dead now. But anyway.
Well, you are rather rough.
I think that's the only Gerald I've ever known. But
I've never known a Gerald.
No, it's an odd name, isn't it, I suppose. So anyway, we haven't got time for these bollocks.
You're quite right, we haven't.
So, thanks for joining us again. As the name of the show implies, this is a video game show, and we get it all done in 60 minutes. And the last two episodes, we've done that very successfully. So I'm not going to waffle anymore, because we've got quite a little bit to pack in this show. Yeah, we have. We've also got what you've been playing, what I've been playing, what I've been finishing.
Gerald, yes.
Yes, and then also a little retro corner to finish off, so...
And news.
No, we don't have fucking news. I ain't doing any news bollocks.
Did we not?
No. Anyway.
Did we not mention the Xbox thing last time and everyone was speculating?
Oh, fuck all that. I don't give a fuck about that. It's utter shite. And it's just... I mean, it's just... Oh, God, you got me onto it. No, but I'm not going to talk about that. But also, the whole stuff on the Metro and any kind of news outlet for video games at the minute is like how many jobs have been lost with regards to video games. And, you know, it's almost like the world is coming to an end and I'm fed up of reading about it now.
Yeah, and it's a tech-pocalypse.
Yeah, obviously for people who are losing their jobs in the video game industry, it's not good, but it's just, it's so doom and gloom at the moment, isn't it, everything?
It is a little bit, and the Metro are masters of doom, gloom, and we hate everything.
Yes, so fuck all that bollocks. Anyway, this is a cheery place to talk about good things for 60 minutes. So
yes.
First up, I just want to do a little bit of quick shout-out to Wayne, who sent me a lovely message saying that he enjoyed the last episode, particularly the little segment about Daily Thompson Super Test, because the music that I inserted into that in the background brought back some memories for him. So that was nice to hear. And then also for Pete, who said that he hadn't listened to the show yet. He was a bit late to the party. He thought it was shit. But no, he did. He said he'd listened to the episodes and he thought it was a really nice format. And so he just wanted to say a quick shout out to him. So thank you for that. Right.
I'm actually very happy someone knew Daily Thompson Super Test because I don't think I've ever met anyone else who played it.
Well, yeah, I mean, Wayne, I'm sure he had an Amstrad, so how the fuck he would have heard the music for Daily Thompson Super Test, because I think it was only on the 128 version, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But everyone knows Decathlon, but yeah, the Super Test no one ever really knew. But if it triggers him, maybe, well, I say trigger, that makes it sound like a bad thing. But you know what I mean.
We do. Anyway, let's get into it then. I think I went first last time, so I'm going to let you go first this time, if that's all right. Tell us, what have you been playing? You've got an over your 90 million hour obsession of Power Wash Simulator, I'm hoping.
And yes. Got that off your own system. I have not loaded it since last time. But it's not really a question of what I've been playing, it's a question of what I've been playing on.
Ooh.
As much as anything.
Ooh.
Because I bought a, I suppose you could call it hardware, but not hardware. So I bought a PlayStation Portal.
Ooh, I'd totally forgotten all about this.
Yes.
And then when you sent me a message, I was like, what the fuck's that? And it's that handheld doodah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the reason I bought one is, I can't remember if I ever mentioned it, but Becca Games, and... you know, you get the start of the year, you get all your things through saying you've played this much on X game. You find out all the games, like what you've been playing the most of on PlayStation and on the Switch. And I was thinking, I didn't seem to play much towards the end of last year. And I found out why. Because someone had played Zelda for 270 odd hours or something like that.
Wow.
Which is insane. She actually had the number one game on like playtime on the Switch and on the PlayStation because she played Frostpunk for about 100 and something hours as well.
Shit. So, do you talk to each other? Is it that stage of your relationship now where you just kind of play video games and don't talk to each other?
Oh, yeah. It was mainly just stop playing Zelda. It's fucking boring. Or can I play something good? But, she tends to spend... Well, sod's law is she's now playing something on the PlayStation, but she tends to play, like, Zelda games on the Switch and things that take forever. Hmm. And then I don't get to do anything because we have everything plugged into the one TV downstairs.
And, so and thought, she sounds very selfish because, obviously, the Switch is primarily a handheld device.
Yeah, she doesn't like playing it handheld.
Ugh.
But then I'm not a fan either because the Joy-Cons are all wibbly-wobbly and it doesn't feel very sturdy for me anyway. It feels a bit flimsy.
You like firm things in your hand as well, don't you?
I do. I like something girthy to grasp. Yeah. It's what I'm used to. So, I'm not going to want anything pencil thin when I've got something substantial usually to hold. I bought a Portal, which is essentially... right. I don't know where to start, to be honest.
Well, don't waste time.
Ask me questions, briefly.
Okay, so this is the PlayStation...
PlayStation.
Yeah, fucking good start. This is the PlayStation handheld device, which is going to... It enables people to play remote play, and it's... I don't know the specs of it yet, particularly, but it's £200, isn't it? Let's get that out of the way. Is it worth £200?
No, of course it's not, because it literally is just a streaming device. It essentially is a DualSense with a 8-inch LCD screen in the middle. All it does is like stream stuff from your PlayStation 5 so you can play it on your hands, which for £200, it's a lot. And there's lots of caveats. So the first one is you need a good Wi-Fi connection. And I did test it out on my phone first just to see if like conceptually it would work. So I tried playing a couple of games on my phone with a DualSense because I connected that to my phone. And the connection was good enough and things were smooth enough. But the screen was just too small.
Mm.
I've not got a tiny phone. It's going to be getting on for 6 inches-ish. But it wasn't working for me. So I thought, naturally, I'll just try that instead. And, right, as a device, is it comfortable to use? Yes, because the DualSense, I find a very comfortable pad. And it's essentially that, just with a screen in the middle.
And it's got the sort of like the haptic control feedback.
Yeah, it's got everything. The only difference is the lights are in a different position. The sticks are ever so slightly smaller, sort of somewhere maybe between like the sticks you get on a VR, the VR2 and the sticks you get on the DualSense. They're not tiny. They work perfectly fine. But you get all the haptics, all of that malarkey. The only thing missing is the touchpad in the middle, but because the screen's a touchscreen, if you want to use that, you just stick your thumb on either side, and that acts as the left and right hand side of the touchpad in the joypad. I said there's not much to it. There's a headphone port because Sony are just fucking bellends, so you can't just use your standard Bluetooth headphones. So you've either got wired or you have to buy their special Link Buds. Or whatever, or Link Ear Plus Pro, or whatever they're called.
Pulse Explore. Yeah, I'd heard a bit about this because I think Wayne was mentioning it that, like they said, there's something that, you know, about the earphones themselves that you have to buy their.
Yeah.
It's almost like their own, going back to the Vita, their own proprietary memory cards.
It's just because of the way that, because it streams from the PlayStation, that if you were using wireless headphones, then that would have to go to the PlayStation. Back to the portal and in your ear, so a latency thing, possibly. You know, why they didn't put a receiver in it, I don't know. It'd be something the way it communicates with the PS5.
And just to, we're talking £200 here for the actual portal device. You're talking £200 as well for actual fucking earbuds.
Yeah, if you wanted to go that route, then yes, but as it is...
Madness.
I've still got a reasonable set of... wired earbuds that I can't use because my phone doesn't have a wired thing anymore. I could buy an adapter, but I can't be bothered, so I've got Bluetooth buds as well.
Right.
Whatever. So that's fine. The screen, I was a little bit worried because like the only LCD screen I've got is the original Switch, and you know, the screen on the original Switch is shit.
Yeah.
I've never liked it. I've never liked the color reproduction. It's really flat. The viewing angles are all right, but it's just a really flat color presentation. So I was a little bit, I had a little bit of trepidation with this, but actually as far as an LCD goes, it's pretty fucking good actually.
Mm. Yeah.
The colors are really, really nice and poppy. It's got really, really good viewing angles. It doesn't dim or doesn't go gray if you're flapping it about, if that's for whatever reason you'd be flapping it about. I don't know. But yeah, it's good. And I don't know what... No, it's 8-inch screen, sorry. But those extra couple of inches between that and my phone makes all the difference. So I haven't come across anything where the text is too small or anything yet. It's all legible. It's only 1080p, which if you're used to playing it, you're thinking it's like, you know, somewhere between, what, 1440 and 4K on a big screen. But when you condense 1080p down to a screen that size, lovely and pin sharp. And it works a treat for me in my use case scenario. That's kind of the caveat. I would recommend it if you have a very specific need. Like if you want to play your PlayStation 5 games, you find your phone too small, you haven't got an iPad or anything like that, you can't do remote play on, if that's your preference. Yes, and you've got a good Wi-Fi connection. There's me saying I've got a good Wi-Fi connection. You can remember the same coin days where I didn't.
Oh, God, yes.
It's worked a treat. I've had, you get a tiny, tiny little bit of extra lag because of the way it connects to it. I wouldn't use it for like a Call of Duty necessarily or anything like any sort of real Twitch gaming.
Yeah.
But for what I've used it for, it's been bang on, to be fair. I've been all around the house and it works. You know, I've been sat there playing games while having a poo, which is a bonus.
Yeah.
And it is a nice bit of kit. It feels solid. It is just a little bit pricey. I know a lot of people say, well, you could get a Steam Deck, blah, 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 blah. I could, but if I wanted a Steam Deck, I'd want the OLED.
Yeah.
And that's what, like 540 quid or something like that?
Yeah.
That's a big difference. It's a big difference. And I don't necessarily want to tinker with anything. I'm not much of a tinkerer. This is just a case of, as long as you've got your PS5 in rest mode, you just push the on button, press the PlayStation button on it, and then you get like this little sort of Doctor Strange circle with like blue fire going around it. And your PlayStation 5 switches on, and when it's gone through its thing and it loads the desktop up, your desktop pops up in the little circle, and then the circle sort of zooms in and takes over the screen, and then you game on.
Mm. So, I mean, just looking at it, I mean, the screen looks bigger than the Switch.
Yes.
And the actual thing is bigger than the Switch. So it's
quite big, yeah.
Yeah.
But because you've got those, because you've got the proper, essentially a proper joypad on it, it's really comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's not heavy enough to be annoying. It just feels sturdy. It feels nice.
Yeah, because these backbones, they seem to be in vogue at the moment, don't they, as well? I know Wayne's had them, and Pete's got one, I think, or Tom's got one. And they are quite nice little things, like, you know, the way that they attach to the controller. And I think they do an official one for PlayStation and Xbox and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I'm looking at some comparisons here. It's not far off. I mean, comparatively, for a Steam Deck, they look, you know, roughly the same size.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at the right thing, I think so. And it's a
big old thing.
Yeah.
And I'd say about, like, I looked at a backbone as a possibility, but when I figured out, like, my phone screen just isn't quite big enough. So what's a backbone, about 70 or 75 quid, something like that?
Yeah, they're not quite...
Well, then I'm going to have to buy a tablet to go with it.
Yeah.
And... I don't want a tablet for that purpose. I don't want lots... It fills a very specific need that I thought I had, and it works very well, given the signal that I've got in my house on Wi-Fi. It fulfills its purpose as good as I wanted. I didn't want to compromise by playing on a tiny little screen.
Yeah.
It's big enough. It works for me. I could not recommend it for everyone. But like I said, if you fill that little sort of niche and you've got a decent enough network, then bob on. It's great.
Yeah.
But I think it sold better than they expected, to be fair. Because I mean, I I looked around at Christmas when I'd be vouchers and whatnot to spend, and I was thinking, ooh, I'll get one. And I couldn't find one for love nor money for quite a while, but then one popped up, so I just thought, fuck it, why not?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking now, and I'm on the PlayStation website, and it's currently unavailable to buy from PlayStation Direct. I'm assuming, can you buy it from other people as well, or is it just PlayStation?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because I was doing Stock Checker, because I'm a sad fucker. You can get it from Game, Smiths, or Smythes, if you however you want to pronounce it, Amazon, Very, and EE, I think, as well. They seem to sell out pretty quickly, and then it was like very occasional, like, oh, in stock at 3 a.m. somewhere, out of stock at 3:03.
Wow.
So I think they struggled a little bit.
Oh, it's interesting. I mean, like, it's weird. I'm glad that they are selling it in other places, because they did that weird thing, didn't they, with PlayStation VR 2, that you could only buy it directly from them.
That is true. Yeah, I completely forgot about that. That's... Can you get it anywhere else apart? Well, obviously you can get them in CEX. Can you buy them anywhere else? I don't know if you ever could you?
I think you can now, but I'm just looking at, I call it Smiths, even though it is pronounced Smythes, but it's out of stock everywhere across the country, apparently. So they may not have, they must have not have made as many as they thought they were going to sell. But OLED Steam Deck starts at $479.
$479.
But then $569 for 1 terabyte. So,
yeah, I'd hardly say £200 an impulse buy, but it's more of an impulse buy than £479.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's one of those. Right, believe it or not, I've actually sold my Steam Deck.
Have you?
Yeah. So I had it for about a year, and it's one of those things. I had a bit of back pay with work, so I thought, oh, I'll get one of those, and I used it, loads and loads. I did loads of emulation on it, downloaded loads of emulators, all that kind of stuff, and obviously linked it up to my PlayStation, did the remote play, and that all worked pretty well, to be fair. I didn't go too deep in a lot of the emulation. I didn't bother with stuff like the Switch and whatever. I couldn't be arsed. I just ended up doing a load of retro stuff, MAME and SNES, all that sort of thing. But then it got to a point where I wasn't really using it on a commute, because I don't commute anywhere particularly. I wasn't using it at home. The main place I was using it was potentially like in bed for an hour before I actually go to sleep. So if I go to bed at 10, and then I'll just switch it on and play with it for an hour or so. But then I got into a point where I'll go to bed, and now I read Retro Gamer magazine for an hour instead, and that's kind of become my routine. And I couldn't be asked to play a game. See, having the ability to do it is great, I get it, but for me, I don't have the challenges of sharing a TV like you do. So I can just stick on the PlayStation on a 65 OLED TV, and I'm happy as a pig in shit. Do you know what I mean? So if I potentially did have those problems, or like Wayne, the Switch has become his main gaming machine because he's on a train or the bus for 2 hours a day, so that's kind of suits his needs right now. So I thought I gave it a trial. Like, I was talking to my wife about it. I said, look, I'm thinking about selling this, because the OLED had just come out, and because the LCD was going to drop in value essentially, because they're going to stop selling them. So I thought, do I capitalise on it now? And she said, well, give it a trial for a month or so, see if you use it. And I started to, but then it all dropped off again. And I just thought, oh, fuck it, I'll just flog it. So, and that's not a reflection on the Steam Deck, because it is a great piece of kit, but it was just a case of, I'm not really using this. So
yeah, if you're not going to use it, then fine. You give it a go, you can still appreciate it's a nice bit of kit, but if it doesn't fill a gap, doesn't fill a gap that you have, then why not get rid.
Have you tried to use this elsewhere, or have you only exclusively just used it in the house?
Well, only in the house. I wouldn't, it's too big, I wouldn't take it anywhere. But it's another one of the stupid things about it. It's like there's an airplane mode on it, right? But I don't know what that would ever
how does
do
that fucking work.
Well, it doesn't. It would be completely pointless, because there's no browser or anything in it. So in theory, you could take it around someone's house and use their Wi-Fi. But if you're out and say you wanted to connect to a public Wi-Fi, then it, you know, most of them are, you know, oh, open a browser, get the password or whatever, and then put it in. But there's no way of doing that. So right. You'd have to open it on your phone. So I suppose you could technically, all right, I want to connect to flibbity bibbly whatever net. All right, I'll open it on my phone. I'll register on my phone. There's the code. And then go into it and then connect that way. But it wouldn't be fucking bothered, to be honest. I mean, I didn't buy it to use anywhere else. I bought it specifically to use when something else is on the TV, which I either A, don't want to watch, or I'm not playing. Mm. And as long as it's not on the PS5. But it's been quite nice because generally I sort of game in fairly long periods, like at night at some point. I'll do a couple of hours. Whereas this is like in the morning, I get up way earlier than I need to before I start work, but it means I can have 20 minutes. And it's something, I don't know why, I always find that if I sit in front of the TV, then I kind of want to be there for quite a while playing. But if I'm holding that, I don't mind just having 10 minutes on something and then just sticking it on standby and job done.
Dipping it in and out, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. More of a dippy, like a dippy egg.
The dippy, yeah, very good.
Dippy.
Lots of innuendos there. But yes. About size, girth, dippy, floppy. I don't know what else you said. Anyway, so very good. You'd recommend for people who potentially, you know, have issues with using a TV, if you only got one telly in the house and you share it with somebody.
Yeah, if you think, yeah. I wouldn't recommend anyone just try it just to see, because you either know whether you think you need it or you're not, or yeah. You don't, to be honest. So, I wouldn't get, if you've got as much time as you want to play on the TV, I wouldn't bother. I wouldn't spend £200 just to, I might just want to spend 5 minutes shooting things when I'm having a poo.
Yeah.
it's pretty specific, but it's a nice bit of kit for what it is, but I'm trying to think, how much should it be? Well, what's a DualSense like? What are they?
60 quid.
Without sales, about 60, 65 quid, aren't they? Yeah. Maybe like 140, 150 maybe would be more reasonable, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because it's not the greatest, it's not the best screen in the world, but it's just a damn sight better than like the Switch screen. But it's big, it's nice, it's light, it's well designed. It's a nice solid bit of kit as well, considering it's, like I said, it's a split open DualSense with a screen sat in the middle. It's don't feel fragile or anything.
Very good, and it does look nice, and it fits in with the whole PlayStation, you know,
ecosystem,
aesthetic,
the family design,
yes,
language,
yes, very good. And what have you been playing on your PlayStation Portal?
What have I played? I don't know why I went back and I played through Broforce again.
All right, okay, God, I haven't played that for a long time.
I hadn't, and I don't know why I did. I think that's just because, right, I'm playing in my hands now, so I need to play something that looks a bit more retro.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why. And I thought, I quite like Broforce, and remembered it having lots of performance issues on the PlayStation
God, yeah.
4. We used to chug like a motherfucker once you got to the levels where the aliens turned up. It was, yeah, slideshow in places. So yeah, I gave that a go again. Is that the right phrase?
Yeah.
Why not? Gave that a go again. That doesn't sound right.
It's fine. It's fine. We're not.
I know it's fine. But it doesn't sound right. Why? I don't know. But yeah. So I just played that and just went through it and completed it again. I think they've added a few extra bros. I think there's actually a new version coming out later in the year, which because this isn't specifically a PS5 version. I think it might just use that weird boost mode kind of thing that they do for. Some of the older games where it might just unlock the frame rate, I don't know, but it runs smooth as you like, and good fun shooting and destroying lots of things, also lots of swearing because you start a level with a shit bro that you can't figure out how to use properly, and there is that sort of thing when you get to some of the bosses. It's like, all right, well, I know I can beat it if I start off with this bro and I rescue one who's also might be one of these three or four, I'll probably beat it. Oh, I've got the woman out of that Robert Rodriguez film with one leg, and one leg's a gun. Don't like that as a character. Can't figure out how to use it properly.
Yeah, so
as soon as
that was from Grindhouse, wasn't it, I think?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've got her. Oh, brilliant. Now I've got Who else is shit? Well, no, they're not necessarily shit. I just can't do it. Oh, Demolition Man, he's rubbish.
Is he?
Yeah.
What's he called?
When you've got a big thing, like devil cock worm thing, I don't want a grenade that bounces around because I'll just fire grenades at the bloody thing and it just boings off the side of it and then blows up somewhere else. No, I want a good gun, a good explosive thing that on impact, but not a... yeah, not a bouncy projectile that I can't really control. But yeah, it's good fun. So I played through that, and then I've started, and I'm probably 3/4 of the way through Mass Effect 2.
Ooh, I've noticed you've been playing Mass Effect. And have you done the first one? Because this is the Legendary Edition, isn't it? Which has got three games on.
I did the first one. When did it come out, the Legendary Edition? It's going to be longer than I think. So I'm going to say I did the first one last year, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was the year before. Because I've got quite a large soft spot for the Mass Effect games. I know that people bitched and moaned about a third one. I've only ever played it once, but I'll get there at some point.
2021, April 2021 came out.
All right, yeah, I would have played Mass Effect 1 in... Well, no, I wouldn't have played in 21. Or would I? What are we on? 24. I reckon I'll probably wait until 22 to play the first one again. Bit clunky, most people said, if you go back to the first one, it's a bit janky as far as the shooting mechanics goes, and it is, but all the characters are good in it, so I thought I'll split them over a couple of years, and I thought, oh, Mass Effect 2, wonder what that's like in handheld. It works absolutely fine, and overall, I'd say the game still holds up. I still like the plot, I like the characters. It's well written. I always love the design of like everything in the Mass Effect world. It feels like a proper sort of sci-fi. That's the only way I can describe it. It feels like things have been designed properly, so it feels like there's like a culture or difference between all the different races and their technology and whatnot. And I've always, the races are distinctive. They've all got their own civilizations and the way that they act and how long they live and all this kind of thing. I've always loved that, and I like the idea of the Reapers. I think the good baddie to have in the background, the threat looming is always very good. I'd say the only things that haven't aged as well, I mean, I said it's well written, which it is, but some of the dialogue it doesn't really flow into each other, when you're selecting off your dialogue wheel on how to react. It is quite funny how some responses you can come across as really, really angry, and then your next one's really kind. It's just there's a weird tonal shift between some of the conversations that sort of comes out of nowhere, and it feels a little less refined than some of the scripts you'd get like these days.
Yeah.
But overall, pretty good. And you don't half spend a lot of time scanning planets and firing probes into their atmosphere.
Oh, yes.
I forgot quite how much of that you do if you want to get your resources up. It's hilarious.
It's quite addictive.
I mean, it's
that,
still
isn't
better
it?
Than the fucking Mako out of Mass Effect 1, which still handles like a dog's ass.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I did kind of miss, because in Mass Effect 1, you got the Mako. I think you can land on any planet, can't you? And it turns out that 99.9% of them, there's bugger all there, and it controls like shit. But I just like the idea of driving around, being able to drive around on every planet. Whereas this time, just given the atmosphere a good probe to get some get some resources and then shuffle on. But the story's I just like it. I like Mass Effect. I like the way it ramps up its bombastic attitude through the second game, especially. This is the suicide mission, which I'm not quite at yet.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a lovely structure to it.
Shagged anyone yet?
No. I'm staying true. I went first game, Blue Girl, Liara,
is it? I don't know.
That's the one. Yeah. I think the first time I played it on the 360, I might have cheated with Miranda.
Oh, yeah, but I like Miranda. Yeah.
But this time I'm being truthful. I'm being full hero.
And are you male Shep or Fem Shep?
Because I'm an idiot, I've gone male Shepherd again, even though I know that voice acting wise, female Shepherd's better.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Don't know. I just go male because then it just feels like just by preference that I'd rather romance what's her name again?
Liara.
Liara. Yeah, I'd feel weird hitting on Garrus even if I was playing as a female. Because Garrus is my friend. He's my buddy, pal, and bro.
Yeah.
He's not my finger buddy.
He's not your fuck buddy, no.
No.
I did have it downloaded, but I needed to clear some space. But I do want to go back to them because I went on the 360. I played Mass Effect and I didn't get on with it. I found that the initial sort of opening section a bit slow for me.
Yeah.
And then when Mass Effect 2 came out and it came into rave reviews, so I bought it because it's a bit more action heavy. I think I definitely enjoyed it a lot more, and thought it was fantastic, and I completed it, and you know. It was amazing. Did all that, like you said, all the planet scanning, all that sort of shit. I love doing all that. The music in it is amazing. And like you said, you do a mission and then you go back to your ship and you chat to everyone and it's great and it's really cool. But then I did go back to Mass Effect 1 and I absolutely fell in love with that. And I did all the DLC and ended up loving it and it was great. And then when Mass Effect 3 came out, because I think I wanted to go and I wanted to play it through so that my character carried through with all the choices that you made throughout the whole series, and never quite got round to it. So I've never actually played 3, but I remember there was always controversy at the time, wasn't there, about it when it came out? And that, didn't they change it?
Yeah, they added a bit. Yeah, people weren't happy with the ending because people are never happy with anything. The ending weren't great, but I could completely understand what they went. The choice I made, I could completely understand. The point behind it. I didn't throw a hissy fit about it or anything, but people just got really arsy about it. So they added a few extra lines of text or a couple of extra little cutscenes.
Right.
People were like, no, we want an entire new ending. It's like, well, fuck off, you privileged bastards.
Yeah.
Why should they rewrite their story to satisfy you because you don't think it's what it should be? They wrote the fucking thing. You know, that's their choice. You don't like it, tough tits.
Yeah, exactly. Are you going to go?
It's not a democracy. It's their fucking. It's their labour of love. Numbnuts.
Exactly. Are you going to play the third one as well?
Yeah. Because I think I've played the first one 3 or 4 times now. I've played the second one a couple of times, but I've only ever played the third one once.
Yeah.
I don't think that's relative to the fact that I don't think it's any good. I think it's because it came out sort of later in the 360's lifespan. I think I just had more games at that point in time, so I played it, enjoyed it, and then just moved on to the next thing.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I bought the Legendary Edition, so I could go back again without some of the little bits of jank, you know, that affected them the first time around.
Yeah. And time-wise, because I always thought these games were massive, but then obviously more massive games came out, like The Witcher and Red Dead Redemption and stuff like that, and GTA. But so, I know, because I remember you saying that the first Mass Effect isn't as big as you sort of seem to remember it being.
No, it was like about 15, 16 hours or so, maybe.
Yeah.
Round about there, which, like I said, when you compare it to, you know, 90-hour Stardew Valley, or if you're a lunatic, 270-hour Zelda, it's a positive walk in the park. But this one, I've been doing everything, to be fair. I mean, I haven't skipped out on anything, so I have scanned every single planet, made sure I at least probed them once. Every anomaly I've been to, I bought every additional star map. So I've tried to do absolutely everything in the game. I'm probably 26 hours, maybe 27 hours.
Yeah.
So it is a lot bigger than the first one. But I'd say out of that, you know, there's a good few hours there of rotating different coloured orbs in front of me and hearing probe launched. Launching probe. Probe launched. I mean, I've heard that about 600 times.
Yeah. And it never gets old either, does it?
No, I'm sat there going, God, this is boring. And then it's like it's like that equivalent of Power Wash Simulator. So I've been doing this for ages and it's annoying me, but I keep doing it. I keep making sure that every planet I've scanned.
Yeah.
And I usually keep going until the resource level hits like moderate or poor. I've got way too many. I don't. Again, like I said last time, I've got that thing in my head that platinum. Oh right, I'm up to 100,000 now, so I can't go below 75,000. But I need 75,000 to do this bit of research. Right, so I can't spend it. I've got to get to 150 so I can take the 75 off and still be left with 75. But now I've got 200,000, so I'm not going below 125,000. I do it to myself.
Yeah, very good. It's very frugal, I should say.
What am I saving it for?
A rainy day.
What rainy day? I can't spend it. It makes no sense at all. I'm not going to get a voucher through the post saying, well done, you finished the game with 200,000 of every resource. Here's a £5 discount off something. Mm. Pointless.
Mm. Very good. But just very quickly, thanks, we've got to move on. But looks-wise, is it a big upgrade or is it just noticeably better?
To be honest, I don't know. And I haven't watched any comparison videos, but it looks how I remember it looking.
Mm.
And I know from experience how you remember something looking. Like, even if you go back to the 360, you think, oh, that was great. And then you look at it and go, oh, that was rough.
Mm.
So it looks how I remember it. And it loads quicker. So there's especially in Mass Effect 1, you're hanging around in lifts by choice rather than actually waiting for stuff to load. And there's, like I said, the loading screens could be quicker because it's like PlayStation 4 loading rather than PlayStation 5 loading. But whereas when you transition from a ship to a planet, I'm sure on Xbox, it was a fairly lengthy load.
Yes.
Like 30-odd seconds or so. It's probably cut down to like 6 seconds or so. So it's not too bad. It's not too egregious.
That's good. That's good. I'm going to jump in here, actually, because I'm just looking at the time. We've got 23 minutes left, and I've got a couple of games.
Left?
I know.
Jesus Christ. Go.
You're rattling on about...
Shut up.
If we have a bit more time left, then obviously, if you've got any other games, then...
That's it for me. Go.
Oh, okay,
you're on.
Cool. All right. Well, I'll start off then with... seeing as the last two shows, I've talked about it. I've finished The Witcher 3. The Wild Hunt, and also finished Hearts of Stone DLC and Blood and Wine DLC. I finished that
bloody
last
hell
night. I know,
I thought they're quite big, aren't they?
I'll talk about those in a minute, but just go to talk a little bit about the main game. So it is fantastic, one of the best games I think I've ever played. I've mentioned it before, so I'm not going to go over it again in terms of the world, you know, the story, the graphics, the characters. For somebody who's never read any of the Witcher stuff, I thought it was brilliant, really good. I have coincidentally started watching the Witcher TV show, which I'll talk about in a minute, because I'm keen to hear your opinion on that. But... So the main game, and I'm not going to say anything in terms of spoilers for the story or whatever, but the one thing obviously people will know if you've played it or if you haven't, this isn't giving anything away. But the whole thing is that you're the Witcher Geralt and you are after Ciri, who is a very powerful character. She's got Elden blood flowing through her veins. She has the ability to potentially destroy the world, you know, should she choose to, or lose control of her powers. And so... With that being said, she's been hunted by everybody. The Wild Hunt, which I believe, I don't quite know, but because I don't read all of the stuff that, you know, you get from the books and whatever that's in the game, or all of the bestiary or the encyclopedia about characters or whatever. I just tend to gloss over that a little bit. But they're like a fallen elven race, which are very powerful and, you know, have the ability to portal in and out of places and destroy the world and all this kind of stuff. So they're after her for her power. Then you've got other people who are after her, other kings and other people. And then she's just basically hunted and, you know, got a lot of people chasing after her. So your job is to find her, and it takes you across all of these different places and the continents, and, you know, some of they all look different in, you know, Velen looks very different to Novigrad, and, you know, looks very different to Skellige. It's a world they've created. It's amazing. It looks fantastic. So the whole thing leads, and there's loads of side quests and all that sort of stuff, which, you know, we've talked about before. The whole thing for me was leading up to that, the point where you are after Ciri and you're following clues and leads and all that sort of stuff, was amazing. It was brilliant. I loved it. And it's that typical thing of when you get to the point that you are aiming for, or the objective, which is where you, you know, and this is no spoiler, but you eventually do find Ciri.
Oh, you bastard.
Sorry. The story then changes to a point where you kind of, you're not going for the end game as such, but obviously there are different objectives because you found what you were after. And for me, the story, it didn't get worse or anything, but it, I just felt like it lost a little bit of something. And I've been trying to sort of like rack my brains over what that is. I mean, they always say, don't they, and it's a bit of a cliche, but I suppose it's true, that it's the journey, not the destination.
Yeah.
But for me, and when you get to that point, because it, there, you know, there are lots of, there's lots of, it builds it up to it, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? You know, and the game doesn't finish as soon as you find Ciri. There are other things that you then need to do. But it just felt like I wasn't as engaged with it as I was leading up to that point. Does that make sense?
From what I remember, she was always just out of reach.
Yes.
So that's the, it's the chase, isn't it? It's the thrill of the chase. And then when you get it, it's like, oh. No, it's not, but you know what I mean. I never got there. Like, I genuinely have no idea what happens at the end of the game.
Yeah.
After all this time.
And it's good, and it is good, and it's good to sort of see how it all plays out, and that's the thing. And then it's also good to sort of see the relationship between Geralt and Ciri and how that, because you don't know any of it. You don't know how they all came to be together and how Geralt and Ciri came to be together, which I suppose leads me onto the TV show, because I've been watching that and I've been enjoying it to a certain degree, because it is like a prequel to the video game, because it does fill in the blanks as to how Ciri became to be with Geralt and their relationship and everything else, and how Yennefer came to be who she is, and you know, all these like Triss and whatever, and the relationship between Yennefer and Geralt. So that's all really good. I didn't watch it at the time when it first came out, because I think I was a little bit put off by Henry Cavill as Geralt, because I don't know what it is. I mean, I played quite a lot of the game prior to the TV show coming out. And so I was kind of, I got used to Doug Cockle and the imagery that they'd put on the video game. So, and I'd seen some pictures of Henry Cavill, and I thought, I don't know. But actually, he's not bad. I think he does a decent job. He's got the gruff voice, you know, and he's all right. He's watchable. And that's maybe just the thing about Henry Cavill. I'll watch him in stuff, or I've seen him in stuff. Obviously Superman and Mission Impossible and other things. And he's all right, but he doesn't really do anything for me in terms of, I don't think, oh, it's got Henry Cavill in, so I've got to watch it. Do you know what I mean?
No. I don't think he's been very lucky, to be fair. I think, like, as far as like his Superman goes, I think he could be a very, very good Superman.
Yeah.
It's just a shame he was in a load of shit films.
Yeah. So.
And I think he could be a good Geralt, and I think he does an all right job.
Yeah.
But if it was better, if it was, you know, better script, just a better show, I think he could do a better job. I don't think he can elevate something that's all right to be brilliant, but I think he would do well in something that was already good, if that makes sense.
And I think that's the thing. So I've got to the third series of The Witcher now, and because I'm onto the third episode, and generally speaking, each episode's about an hour long. So, and I think whilst I was playing the video game, I was enjoying it more. Because, you know, you kind of want to see what happens to these characters that then lead into the video game. But now finished the video game, and I went to put one on the other day during my lunchtime, and I looked to see how long it was on for. It was like an hour, and thought, no, fuck it. I'm just... And the thing is, right, and I'm genuinely intrigued to find out what people who aren't interested in the video game or are interested in the books, just a lay person who thinks, you know, they liked Game of Thrones, because let's be honest, it's Game of Thrones light. It's kind of, you know, of that type of ilk, you know, fantasy, magic, monsters, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. It feels like he's trying too hard to be like Game of Thrones. And even my wife, who's not interested in it, but she happened to catch a little bit of it, and she was like, is this trying to be like Game of Thrones? And she also commented, it feels like she's watching a video game because there's lots of CG in it and stuff. But anyway, and I'm kind of like at the point, what a general person in the street who watched it and thought, this is really convoluted. It's a bit shit in terms of the writing. What are these characters? I don't really give a fuck about any of them particularly. I think it wants you to give a shit about them, but I honestly I don't know. I'm kind of watching it, and I've got a connection because of the video game, and I really don't give a fuck about half of them, to be honest with you.
No, I think what you kind of nailed it. I think what it's missing is, like you said, with the game, it's about the best bit of the game is finding stuff on the way to something.
Yeah.
You know, it's about the unexpected. Whereas with the TV show, I found all, I just wanted to know where it was going. How is it going? How is, right, I can see what's happening in this episode, but I don't actually care how they get there. I just want to see what happens at the end of each episode or the end of the series. I'm not bothered about the crap in the middle, whereas the game was almost the reverse of that. I'm interested in all the bits in between. The end bit of whatever little plot thread I'm into isn't always the best thing. It's just it's all the bits leading up to it, which were the best parts of it.
Yeah, 100%. So I probably will, but I've lost the kind of impetus a little bit with the TV show. And I mean, the fact that as well, I believe that, what's his name? Henry Cavill's leaving, or he's left already, and there's going to be a new Geralt, which...
Isn't it one of the Hemsworths?
Liam Hemsworth, and I'm like,
which one?
I'm less
which
interested.
One's he? I can't remember.
Yeah, couldn't give a fuck.
Is he the one who looks like Chris, or the one who looks a bit like Chris? but who isn't Chris?
The one that was in the Hunger Games, I think. So,
never seen it.
No. So. Fair enough. Anyway.
Yes.
So, on to the DLC. So I was debating whether or not to do the DLC whilst I was actually playing the main game, but then I read online. You know, it's like, no, that's like your treat, isn't it? You know, that's kind of like what Geralt did after the Wild Hunt. You don't want to spoil that. And particularly with Blood and Wine, it is quite tough. I think if you haven't played the main game or leveled up a character, it does give you like a level 30 character to start off with. And even that's quite, you know, you're going to get battered. I mean, I got battered a few times and I ended up with my character being level 51 in the end.
Jeez.
So, very quickly... Hearts and Stone, it's more of a story side quest than it is. It's still set in Novigrad and Velen. It's still set in the world that you've already played in. It's slightly north of Novigrad, which you haven't been to as much. But I'm not going to go into the story particularly, but it involves a character that you've met very briefly in the story at the beginning of the Wild Hunt. And then it involves other new characters. And you are essentially tasked with... carrying out three wishes, which are supposedly impossible, but then it's, you know, you are beholden to this one particular character. You've been branded, so you have to do these things to get rid of the brand on your face. It's very good. In one place in particular, one of the stories and one of the missions is very funny because Geralt is a bit like Wolverine. He's a no nonsense killing machine, isn't he? He doesn't have much of a funny side to him, but this changes it up, and it is seeing him in a different light altogether, and it's very well done and it's very good. It's very funny.
Is he actually funny? Because that's most of the human from the main game from me, I think, was the whole sort of fish out of water thing, just this gruff.
Oh mate, honestly, it's really well done. It's very good, and it is very funny, and you kind of want to put him in situations where he does things that he wouldn't normally do. So that's good. I enjoyed that. That was about, let's say, 10 to 12 hours. It's not a very big one.
Sizable.
Yeah, decent, but not massive. But then Blood and Wine, which is set in an entirely new, different area, which I have to say is absolutely gorgeous. It's called Toussaint, and it's kind of like a French area, which there's lots of French-speaking people, they have French accents, shall I say. And it's beautiful to look at. I mean, it's a bit like what you'd imagine is in a fairy tale. Like, there's castles, there's vineyards, there's rolling hills. It's gorgeous. It looks so bright and colourful compared to a lot of the previous areas. It's got, like, the outside areas, you know, with the woods and forests and all that kind of stuff. But then it's got, like, its main hub, which I think is called Beauclair, and it's that's where your main sort of castle is. That's a bit like Novigrad, you know, the main sort of area of Novigrad. And that's about you trying to solve a murder, and it looks like it's a vampire that's kind of causing these murders, and it's got knights in it, so it's kind of like... But again, the whole the whole side of it is, this is like a brand new area. It's got side quests, it's got Witcher contracts, it's got things to discover, it's got things to do, it's got brand new monsters in it. It feels very substantial, and it is. I mean, I probably spent about nearly 20 hours in it.
Crikey.
It is pretty big. In total, the whole game, I played for 109 hours, including the DLC. So that's not bad value for seven.
That's not bad, is it?
For $7.99 or whatever it was.
If you're one of them who equates pennies per hour played, you ain't getting much better than that.
I got my money's worth. I think by the end of it, I was kind of ready to sort of play something else because, yeah. You know, you spend a long time with something, you know, as good as it was, and it is, and the DLC was highly recommended, both of them. You are going to get your money's worth and you are going to enjoy it, but, you know, I'm definitely ready for some shorter games now. And I'm going to talk about this one very quickly because we haven't got loads of time, but Helldivers 2, or aka Starship Troopers, the video game. So yeah. I
that's
barely...
been kind of kicking off, hasn't it, that one?
Yeah, it's doing really well, I think. But Starship Troopers. Helldivers, there was a PlayStation Plus game and it was like a top-down kind of shooter, and it was, again, heavily influenced by Starship Troopers then. But I think, and it was good. Good fun in four-player co-op, but they've changed it up now. It's a third-person shooter. You can play in first-person, but I totally wouldn't recommend it because it's not. The gun, your gun sort of moves all over the place. So it's got definitely a third-person shooter. I've only played 5 hours of it, so I can't really talk in a massive amount of detail about it. But it's what I've played so far, it's very good. They've nailed the tone of it. It's a bit like, I suppose, Mass Effect in some ways, where you look at all the planets and stuff. There's loads of different planets. There's the ones with all the arachnids or, you know, aliens. Then you've got ones with robots in them. The planets themselves all look different. They've got different objectives. You've got 30-odd minutes to do your objectives and then escape. You are inevitably going to die, but you can call in stratagems, which are these things, and it's a bit like a rhythm action game where you have to tap the right combination of directions on the D-pad to bring these things in. So there's always that sense of panic. There's that sense of working together. I wouldn't necessarily play it, based on what I've experienced so far, as a single-player game, because you're going to get more out of it if you play it with friends, because there is that sense of, oh shit, somebody's died, let's bring in a new player. Because you get like 15... if it's three players, you get 15... like extra lives, shall we say, which is shared amongst your team. If you play with four player, I think you get 20. So, you know, and there's friendly fire on constantly, so you can end up killing each other very easily. and that's part of the fun. But yeah, so you're bringing in a stratagem, which could be like a new weapon or something, but it kind of falls to the sky, a bit like in Starship Troopers, you know. And so then you'll see it coming down from your starship, and then it could end up landing on somebody because you end up throwing a grenade where you want it to sort of land, but then if somebody strays into the path, they're not looking where they're going. And that's part of the fun, you know. And so far, it's very good. I'm enjoying it. I'm going to play a little bit more, actually, for the first time in a couple of weeks after we've finished recording with a few friends. So looking forward to diving back into that. But you level up your character. You can unlock things. You can buy stuff, which makes your life a bit out. You can unlock new stratagems. You can, like, say, there's just tons of them, like, you know, kind of, I suppose, from different weapons to airstrikes, different types of airstrikes, all sorts, turrets. But there is that sense of panic where, like in, you know, that scene in Starship Troopers, obviously we did that as a Spotlight Reflection show, didn't we? But there's that scene in it where, Sam Fisher. What's his name?
Sam Fisher.
He voiced Michael Sam Ironside. Fisher out of...
Not Michael Ironside.
Michael Ironside, thank you, yes.
Oh, it is Michael Ironside.
Yeah. So where you go off and you meet him, and you go off and you find something, like, you're part of the Roughnecks, and you go to an encampment, and you basically get swarmed by every fucking alien going. And there are bits like that where you have to defend an area, and it is like, holy shit. It's really good so far, what I've played. Get on that if you've got some mates to play it with.
That's what I mean. I haven't. To be honest, it's the first game in years, like, there's a multiplayer game where I've actually thought I would really enjoy that, because I don't give a fuck about Call of Duty or anything like that. But I look at that and go, I would really enjoy that. I know I would, but I don't play online, so I've got no one to play it with, so I'll miss out on it. But if I was online, that would be what I'd play, I think.
Yeah. So I'll report back on that one next show. Anyway, we've got about 5 minutes left, and I do want to fit this retro corner in because I was thinking about this. It's not a game particularly I was thinking about talking about as such, although okay. I'm going to mention a few games, but it's about arcades. I wanted to, you know, go back and talk a little bit of nostalgia about the arcades, in particular, though, about specific types of cabinets and arcades that I used to... Going to the arcade was a treat because we didn't really have one where we lived. It was always go, you know, you go on holiday, you go to the seaside, which I'm guessing was a bit different for you because you live by the seaside, don't you?
No, not really, no, about 50 miles away from the seaside.
Oh, was it? I thought you were close to the seaside.
No, not really. No. Our arcades were the fair that turned up twice a year, or the odd one in a chip shop. That was about it.
Oh, really? Okay. So, yeah. So, going to the arcades, because again, I had a Spectrum, and as much as you like to try and imagine that the conversions were as good as they were in the arcades,
they weren't.
They were shit a lot of the time. Example of that, I used to love Kung Fu Master in the arcade, but. And I had it on the Spectrum, and I played it on the Spectrum a lot, and I went back and watched the video of it, and it's fucking awful. It's so slow, but anyway, whatever. But no, it was arcade cabinets, because that, again, was like part of the allure of arcades, and I think the first one I saw which really struck a chord with me was the Star Wars arcade, and I think that came out in 1983, and it was a sit-down arcade. And it was the old vector graphics. You've played that, no doubt, I imagine.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it felt like you were sitting in an X-Wing. And to probably what for me, I would have been about 7 or 8. It would have been, it was an amazing experience. But my abiding memory of sitting in that particular arcade cab, was I was with my mum. And I've been drawn to this arcade, and I didn't have any money to play it, but I just went and sat in it, and I was looking at it, and I was holding the controller, and I was like pretending I was in the X-Wing. And then obviously I didn't tell my mum where I was going, and she lost me. And then it was probably only for a few minutes, or maybe even less than that, but when she found me, she absolutely went mad at me. And now, as a father of children, you know, and sometimes, and you know, they go missing, or if they aren't where you expect them to be, and if you're out and about or whatever, there is that sense of panic, and she must have shit herself, all because I was drawn to this bloody Star Wars arcade. But then it was like a few years later after that, you had these amazing, and it was generally Sega, you know, kind of like the Super Hang-On sit-on bike, the car from Outrun, which you get to see in Thunder Blade, which kind
Space
of...
Space Harrier,
you know. And then, not just those... But then, I suppose, going into, I suppose, like the gun games where you had Operation Wolf, playing that for the first time, and you actually got like an Uzi. Everything was about an Uzi. Everything was ninjas and Uzis when I was a kid. Do you know what I mean?
It was, yeah.
And it, like everything, every action film, usually a Chuck Norris film or something like that, everybody had an Uzi, and, you know, was obsessed with that gun. And then to actually play with an Uzi, you know, and it had that force feedback when you fired, it was amazing. And just quickly, so, and it wasn't just think those kind of cabinets, but then I remember playing Paperboy, and I can't remember where we were. We were in an airport. We never went abroad when I was a kid, so we must have been picking somebody up or doing something. It had the handlebars.
Yeah.
You know, and it's things like that that I'll go into arcades now occasionally when we go away somewhere like to Butlins or something, and they do have sit on arcades. They occasionally have a Daytona arcade or Sega Rally. Yeah. But it's just not the same because the arcades changed back when the 32-bit, you know, PlayStation and PlayStation 2 came out. They started to die off. So, and I think there is always going to be that sense of magic and nostalgia when you look at those cabinets and think, God, they were great, weren't they? And we've only got like a minute left, so you can't really speak.
Because I'm fucking waffling.
So you're talking about your fucking PlayStation portable.
I know.
But I guess just very quickly, you've got those memories as well, I'm assuming.
Yeah, let me try and sum up. Star Wars, played it a couple of years ago at Arcade Club. It's a lot smaller than you remember, but it's still quality. The Daytona one, brilliant. Anything with a steering wheel was excellent, including Outrun and all that lot. The Thunderblade one, like you said. The first four-player one, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, was the first four-player one. That's made it so fucking loud. How loud some of the arcades were. It was amazing. Anything with a light gun. the duck button on Time Crisis. That was amazing. For the first time I played that, used your foot for. Arcades are fucking great. They're all shit now.
Yeah, and also when you do get the chance to go to like an arcade club or somewhere like that, and totally transforms you back. Like when I went to EGX a couple of years ago, you know, and they got actually some working like a Space Harrier and Outrun. Fucking amazing. Anyway, we'll have to leave it there. So we've got like 30 seconds according to my timer. But thank you very much for listening. If you go to 60mw.co.uk, all the shows are there, everything else. But thank you to you for 60 minutes that's flown by again.
And it has, again.
Yeah. We will see you next time for another show. So take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.